In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We must learn that God's power is His Word. It is far more powerful than any fire, earthquake, or natural disaster that could ever happen, far more powerful than any medicine or weapon that man could create. By His Word, He created all things out of nothing. Because of His Word, the fish, the birds, and the creatures still reproduce and flourish to this very day. Because of that Word spoken as a blessing over Adam and Eve, you exist here today. And children are still born into the world today because of that same Word spoken on the sixth day. So God did not come to Elijah in the fire, the wind, or the earthquake, but He came in that gentle whisper. He came as the Word. He comes to a worn out and weary prophet who is tired, but He comes to uplift him and to strengthen him by that Word, to remind him who is really in control, that Elijah's plans are not God's plans. He comes to set his course back toward Damascus, back toward Israel, for the Lord has His elect saved, 7,000 who have not worshipped Baal, and they need the Word of God, they need the prophet of God to speak that Word to them. So He fills Elijah with His Word so that Elijah in turn may speak that same Word to Israel. Christ stood on the shores teaching the Word of God to the people. He got into the boat for the same reason, so they could hear that Word more easily without pressing in on Him. And then He gives Peter a new word: put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. They listened to the Word of God, and their nets began to break, and their boats began to sink, and they were terrified, for the Word is God's power. What the Word says must happen, for God does not lie. And He still has control over the wind and the waves, even the fish and the creatures of the sea. To Elijah, the Word came in a whisper. To Peter and the disciples, the Word came in flesh and blood. Elijah hid his face in reverence. Peter fell on his knees in fear. The Lord sustained Elijah, and the Lord sustained those boats. He did not let them sink. So understand this. When we say that the Word of God is power, we are not saying that the Word is just some tool that God uses. But we are saying that God Himself is that Word. This is what St. John says in the first chapter. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. St. Paul says the same thing when he equates the gospel, the Word of God, to His power, and yet later on says Christ is the power of God. They're not contradictory statements, for God is the Word. The Son of God is the power of God. Do not divorce the Scriptures from Christ, for the Word has become flesh to dwell among us. They are one in the same. So the Scriptures preach Christ. It's not just simply about Him, but it is Him. Or else it cannot be the power of God. When you believe that the Word of God is Christ and is the power of God for your salvation, then you will not be confused about why God does this or that in the world. When you see the Holy Scriptures dripping with the blood of Christ, the man who died for you so that you might escape eternal death, then you will understand that the Scriptures are driving you back to the salvation God has won. And that is the explanation for all that happens in this world. He can do whatever He wants, but He does not arbitrarily do whatever He wants. God will only do what is for your good, what drives you back toward His Word, back toward heaven. For God is a Savior God. He orders the winds and the waves, the rising and falling of nations. He orders all things in your life, the hard things and yes, the joyful things. He orders it all to drive you and to direct your attention back toward him. Or else he will not allow it in your life. When we remember that, then it's very easy to understand why things happen in this world. Because all things must work out for the good of those who love him, the eternal good of those who love him. So the boat is the church, the fishermen are Christ's ministers, the fish are his people, the net is the gospel. Christ sends out his ministers into the world to preach that gospel. It's a net that simply gathers in people. It's not fishing with a hook and a line as if we are targeting only one group of people. But whoever comes, comes, the good and the bad, the useful and the not so useful. God pulls them all into his church, for he desires all to be saved. He sends out his ministers. He has placed them where they are. He has filled their mouths with his word so they may preach that word to his people. So require nothing less from them. Require that they preach to you Christ. Insist on it. And expect them never to have a bad day about it. Insist that they visit you when you are sick or sad or burdened or just want to hear the word of God once more. For their job is not simply to preach to you one day a week, but to constantly tend to the sheep and to the needs of God's people. Yet understand what pastors do when they visit. It's far more than simply small talk and company. He speaks to you the word of God, and God will not hold back, but the same power that created all that you see will be unleashed on you to drive out all sin from you, to remove your fears and your doubts and your worries, to strengthen your joints, to restore your energy, to purify your soul and your body, and to make you immortal. Oh, you still will be sick and sad and burdened at times, and you certainly will still die unless our Lord returns. But that gentle whisper of forgiveness will have saved you from eternal death. We must learn that God's power is his word. There is no greater force in all the world. The marvels of modern medicine, the marvels of modern warfare, the great acts of nature, all of it pales in comparison to this word of God. And perhaps you have that word of God at home, in a Bible. That is the power of God for your salvation. For modern medicine, food, and weapons of warfare cannot save you from physical death, much less eternal death. But the word of God, that certainly can save you from both. Do not be ashamed of that word. He is your salvation. Do not ask pastors to bring you something else because you know all about the forgiveness God has won, but expect them to serve you with that word. For Christ is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. How foolish it would have been for Peter to take credit for that great catch, to start the consulting business and to show others where the hot spots are and what time to fish. So also how foolish it is when pastors take credit for others' faith or for the size of a congregation. And how foolish it is when we look at those pastors and say, by their work and by their power, they have accomplished all this. We must learn that the word of God is the power. So what if he's smart, kind, loving, welcoming? So what if we have the nicest congregation out there? Certainly we should strive for such things. But the word is God's power. We must learn that it is everything. All the pastor's preparation and skills, his effort and labor, all of it will accomplish nothing if God does not bless it. The power is God's. So the glory and the honor are also God's and God's alone. Do not boast in pastors. Do not take pride that this or that pastor baptized you, confirmed you, married you, or buried your loved ones. You do not belong to them. They belong to you. God sent them to serve you. They are your servants, and everything they do, from the structure of a service to their daily life, everything is for your good. For he who plants and he who waters is nothing, but God is the one who makes it grow. They preach at his command, casting out that net of the gospel, that forgiveness of sins, so that you might remain safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church. So we must learn that the ministry is about Christ, not about individuals. The work is Christ's work. The results are Christ's, for the word is Christ. But that does not mean things look like they're going along well. The church does not always look seaworthy, but it's splintered and cracked and broken. The waves of the world pour over its deck. Her ministers often look like incompetent sailors, at times bickering, at other times feeling sorry for themselves like Elijah, and still at other times not knowing where they are going or how to hold it all together. And yet still the church sails along. Because the word stands in her midst. Christ is preached for the forgiveness of sins, to comfort the worn out, the weary, the distressed, and the scared. And he will not let his word go empty. It will accomplish his purpose. So the world cannot overcome, the church cannot sink, you cannot fail. For the word is with you. Christ is with you. The same power that brought all of this into existence is here present this very day to drive out your sin and to speak to you words of comfort and hope. Do not fear, he says. I have overcome the world. All my power and might was there on Calvary to crush Satan's head and to remove every single last sin. Though the waves crash and the world rages, you are safe in me, safe in the Word of God. So we must learn that the Word of God is his power. We must learn to live like that Word is power. For as eagerly as we desire to hear our loved ones speak to us, so much more we should desire to hear God speak to us. As awestruck as we are at modern medicine and all it can accomplish, or at the marvels of modern warfare, so much more awestruck should we be at this simple word of forgiveness. For that is the power of God. That word is your hope, the way, the truth, and the life. It is your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.